This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Tan Hui Bing, Deputy Tax Leader of Deloitte Malaysia, for his commentary on the stimulus package announced yesterday. But in the meantime, we're catching up a bit on politics. Now, there's still no resolution in sight to the political turmoil that erupted early this week. Interim Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has indicated in his press conference yesterday that the decision on the Prime Minister will likely be determined by Parliament. So Tun M was asked about the outcome of his meeting with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong yesterday morning. He said that the king could not determine who commanded majority support among the MPs.
So as a result, a special session of Parliament could be convened on 2nd March. Tun M also suggested that a snap election could be called if Parliament fails to get the necessary majority to elect the Prime Minister. It is worth noting, however, that an announcement has not come out of Istana Negara.
So by way of timeline, the King is scheduled to convene a meeting of the Council of Rulers today, and immediate reactions to the convening of the special parliamentary session March 2nd. Obviously the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council issued a statement last night saying that the King should not have been preempted in this decision. And Kini also suggested that they cited an unnamed Pakatan lawmaker who questioned whether actually Tun had the authority to call for a special session as interim PM.
So we're trying to get first-hand accounts and reactions from the different parties on this. And so this morning, joining us on the line is Nik Nazmi Nik Ahmad, MP for Setia Wangsa and a former youth chief of PKR. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nazmi. And apologies that you didn't manage to go for your run this morning. So tell us a little bit about what's happening here. Pakatan Harapan has criticised the convening of a special parliamentary session on the 2nd of March. Why is that? Because if the King is unable to determine who commands majority support, wouldn't it be proper for Parliament to then make the determination?
The problem, I think, for us is that we haven't heard anything from the palace. And, Tun Dr. Mahathir is the interim Prime Minister. I'd like to emphasise that. And he has a vested interest because he's putting his name as to be considered for Prime Minister 8 as well. So I think those are things that have to be borne in mind when we talk about why we're questioning the announcement by Tun Mahathir.
So in that case, do you think this special parliamentary session will actually be held then?
I do not want to preempt anything myself, but I'm just conveying the concern that that was expressed by Pakatan Harapan. I think shared by a few legal observers as well.
So, at this point in time, do you get the sense that the coalition, the Pakatan coalition, might have the necessary support to form the majority government?
I'm confident that we have our starting point for Pakatan Harapan is 92 MPs, right? And as a result, that's our starting point. But I know that we have a bigger number than that. So for me, we are consistent that at the very least we should be given a chance as a minority government, to see how it can work. And if it doesn't work, then we can test it in Parliament. But I believe that Anwar Ibrahim should be given the opportunity as the leader of the biggest bloc currently.
What's the basis for you to say that you have the confidence that you have additional support, aside from the 92 MP base that you have? Because it's a little bit of a political free-for-all at this point. What kind of lobbying behind the scenes perhaps has been happening with other parties?
Of course, I think the leaders are in communication, everyone is in communication with the 232 people, or at least with the party leaders, right? So that's happening, and I think because in order to reach the majority number or the magic number of 112, details of who, which party, and all that. I can't share here, and I don't have full details myself, but it is ongoing from all sides, and I think. And at the same time, Tun is also talking about this, government of all parties or so-called unity government. So that's ongoing as well. So I think, you know, but our basis is that we are still the biggest bloc, and we have the precedent of how Malaysia before going through a minority government and how, you know, a government was formed when a party did not achieve the majority of seats in Perak and in Selangor in 1969. And what happened in Selangor was Tan Chee Koon from Gerakan, he was in the opposition. He decided to join the Alliance Party to appoint Dato' Harun Idris as Menteri Besar, but he continued to sit as an opposition member, you know, just so that the government could be formed. So there's a precedent to that. And you know, we shouldn't forget that precedent exists not only in other Commonwealth countries, but even in Malaysia.
And Nazmi, is there a chance that PKR might accept any of the 11 members that have left the party back in?
Well, I can say for certain. I mean, you know, first of all, that no one has the monopoly on national interest. We too are thinking about, you know, how can we get out from this crisis. But, you know, I think it'll be difficult for, certainly for Azmin or Zuraida, who are the main architects of this whole crisis in the first place. Because, you know, this is not a crisis where, you know, like Britain, when they had a national unity government because of the Second World War, the First World War, or the Great Depression. But this is a manufactured crisis simply because some MPs wanted to have dinner in Sheraton. So as a result, you know, I think, you know, we are open, but there are certain people who are culprits, major culprits of the crisis that I think we have to rule out.
So obviously the bargaining chips, the power sit with some of the fence sitters. In the horse trading that's been going on, Nazmi, what kind of things have been offered to the fence sitters to get them to join either side of the coalition? What are some of the bargaining chips?
I think fundamentally it's about national interest. I mean, really, because what, and you know, of course, as I said, Tone has tried to frame it, you know, and by saying that, you know, in order to overcome the problems of the previous cabinet, the problems of Pakatan Harapan, then he wants this government of national unity where, you know, we don't know. He was, at first, there's this talk of talent coming from outside the parliament, and then there's this talk of ministers not being appointed according to party list and whatever. But you know, there's nothing in our system as it exists to stop that from happening. You know, so you know, and you know, Anwar can appoint senators from the corporate world and all that. But I think the most important thing is that who has the legitimacy. Last elections, people rejected UMNO. People rejected PAS. Last election, people elected Pakatan Harapan on our manifesto. And I believe that Anwar Ibrahim will be a prime minister who will not only believe in our manifesto, but will deliver on our manifesto. And we should be given a chance to do that. If we fail, then, you know, the rakyat should punish us in the elections.
So, Nazmi, let's also talk a bit about Bersatu. Because what are the prospects now of Bersatu perhaps coming back to the Pakatan Harapan fold? Or do you see them as more likely to align with UMNO?
I think, you know, Anwar said yesterday, you know, Bersatu is outside Pakatan Harapan. But we are, again, in this current crisis, we cannot close any doors. And I think a good example was in Kedah. You know, where Datuk Mukriz managed to defend his position as Menteri Besar because of the support from Pakatan Harapan. So we do act on the national interest. You know, we are not vindictive. We are not saying that, oh, just because he's Bersatu or he's, you know, that then we will kick him out. So I think that should be, you know, indicate how we are functioning right now. We do want the state governments to be stable as much as possible. So again, I think we will see with Bersatu, if not all, at least a few of the MPs, you know, how things will go. Because I believe, you know, I retweeted something late last night about what Syed Saddiq said. Something nice about what Tun said on Anwar on the, during the PD by elections 2 years ago. And I retweeted and I said, I hope, brother, that you remain steadfast to what you said last time. You know, because being a friend of Saddiq, I know that he's ultimately someone with the best intentions in mind. So, you know, we hope that that will be something that people will think about, regardless of which party they come from.
And Nazmi, I just want to ask, since you brought up state governments, right, how are you all managing, how is PKR managing the fallout in Johor, for example, where UMNO PAS and Bersatu have joined forces to gain control of that state government?
I think yesterday, Pakatan Harapan Johor came out, last night, in response to that, Pakatan Harapan Johor came out saying that actually they have the numbers at least making it, I can't remember the maths exactly, but basically, at least it would be hung in Johor if you know, so basically negating the announcement that was made in the morning. So, you know, we are dealing with it, and you know, it's a bit sad that, you know, you can see, you know, where Bersatu for them is where they benefit, you know, how they react. So, but we hope we are appealing that at the end of the day, action should be based on the national interest and should be based on what we promised to the people in the last elections.
Yeah, you've said on Twitter as well that Malaysia doesn't need the proposed non-party government, even with the best intentions. But if it comes down to to a decision between snap elections or a unity government, what's your sense of how PKR as a party would be more likely to be supportive of?
I don't, you know, last night in my session with Ambiga, you know, it was discussed. We know that holding elections won't be easy. It should not be the first choice. I mean, like some people want. But our argument is to use all the constitutional means, you know, including if failure to appoint a majority government, appoint a minority government and see where it goes and whether it can survive, vote of confidence, and or we can have some form of supply arrangement with some other parties, supply and confidence arrangement. But between holding elections and a unity government, you know, I think we are keen on holding elections because unity government, you know, we don't know what, you know, the announcement that's made is very unclear. At the very least, Pakatan Harapan has a manifesto in the last election for people to hold us accountable. You know, for whatever our weaknesses are, we have that document. Including the succession from Tun Mahathir to Anwar Ibrahim. That's something for people to hold us to account. But this whole new flux of the unity government or government of no party, whatever, it seems attractive now because of coronavirus, because of the economy. But the economy, you know, the huge loss we had on the stock market was because of the Sheraton move, you know, instigated by the former Minister of Economic Affairs. Coronavirus, other countries are having worse crisis and they're not resorting to our measures. In fact, the Pakatan government, I think at least in the coronavirus matter, the committee headed by Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Azizah and then, of course, the Minister of Health, Dr. Zul and the Deputy Dr. Lee Boon Chye, they handled it very well and people recognize that. So it's unfortunate that this good work was undone, in fact, by this whole Sheraton move. So I think I don't see any basis for the National Unity Government, and it's scary because of what it will lead. The last time, the precedent that we had in the country was a form of that in 1969 because of the racial riot, right? And what happened, and I can understand why that was needed in 69. It was a huge riot, racial riot. But that morphed into Barisan Nasional, and the damage they did on the constitution was worse than what the alliance did.
Thank you very much, Nazmi, for speaking to us this morning. And that was YB Nick Nazmi, MP for Setia Wangsa and former youth chief of PKR. Now, up next, we're speaking with Dan Romanoff, analyst at Morningstar, on the fortunes and prospects of Microsoft. So be sure to stay tuned after the 7:30 news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.